National Silver Company presents The Silver Theater, starring Rosalind Russell in For Us the Living, directed by Conrad Nagel. Brought to you on behalf of two of the greatest names in silverware, International Sterling, world-famous solid silver, and 1847 Rogers Brothers, America's finest silver plate.
This is Conrad Nagel, ladies and gentlemen, bidding you welcome to the 26th in the new series of Silver Theater Productions. Today we present the first episode of a two-part drama which celebrates the return to the Silver Theater of the talented Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer star, Miss Rosalind Russell. And now just a word before the curtain rises. For Us the Living is a story of the America of tomorrow. Its characters are no real people. They're fiction. And no reference to any actual figures in the political world of today is intended or implied. Here, rather, we present the story of an idea and an ideal, the dramatic chronicle, if you will, of a woman and a man who put the nation that they love before all else, and certainly before themselves. Ladies and gentlemen, For Us the Living by True Boardman, starring Rosalind Russell as Anne Marshall with Lindsay McCarry as John Norman. The house lights dim, the silver curtain rises. The time, a night in August, an August of the future. The scene, the American Embassy in Brussels. An official ambassador's reception is in progress, and the main salon is thronged with a colorful assemblage. Here are nobility, diplomacy, and politics, each and all represented in their most formal and distinguished guise. Center of interest and of attention is an exquisitely gowned, gray-eyed woman who moves with dignity and assurance among her guests. This is Anne Marshall, American ambassador to Belgium.
Et je me trouve enchanté de voir votre excellence.
Le plaisir est à moi, votre grâce. Et madame la duchesse?
Oh, elle est disposée, mais pas sérieuse.
Ah, bien. Oh, pardonnez-moi.
Certainement, votre excellence.
Lady Conway, I'm so glad to see you.
Oh, thank you, my dear. And may I present
Baron...
Oh,
but I know Baron Holtzman. We met in Vienna.
Oh, I'm honored that you recall it, Your Excellency. Believe me.
Oh, don't believe him. He's been telling me for the last hour that you're a dangerous woman.
Dangerous?
Oh, your last book, Ambassador Marshall, Tomorrow's Boundaries, is it called? I have just finished it. No woman has a right to know us in Europe better than we know ourselves. Therefore, you are dangerous, no?
Your Excellency, pardon me?
Yes, Thomas?
The message you were expecting, it has arrived.
Oh, will you forgive me, please?
Oh, but of course.
Well, it's news at the convention?
Yes, the candidate for president was chosen on the 27th ballot.
Who?
Governor Norman. Oh, Miss Marshall, is something wrong?
Wrong? John Norman, candidate for president, wrong? Oh, Thomas, I must go back in there, but I want you to send a cable for me.
Of course.
Send this message. Secretary of State, Washington. Earnestly request permission to return immediately. Washington pending resignation. Urgent personal reasons. Respectfully, Marshall.
Ambassador Anne Marshall, Brussels, Belgium. Request granted. Return immediately. First and assumed duties pro tem Brussels legation. Shields, Assistant Secretary of State.
Just a minute. You want a statement?
Yes, Ambassador. What do you think about the presidential campaign?
I haven't one for you yet. But if you'd all care to be at my home tomorrow at 3 o'clock, I shall have one. And now, if you'll excuse me, my father's waiting for me.
I will pretend I'm not surprised, Anne girl. And, of course, I'm happy to have you home. But are you sure what you're doing is wise?
Dad, this country needs John Norman as its president. Compared to that, whether or not Anne Marshall goes on being an ambassador to Belgium is pretty unimportant.
Is it? I wonder. You know, Anne, right now, between your writing and your diplomatic work, you're probably as influential as any woman in the country. And when it comes to risking all of that, well, what I'm trying to say is this, Anne girl. Are you sure you know why you're doing this?
Why?
I haven't forgotten Prague, Anne. How long was it?
12 years.
John Norman is American minister, Dan Marshall is secretary. Your first diplomatic appointment of any importance. Yet within 6 months, you asked to be transferred.
That's true.
Well?
What you're trying to say is, was I in love with John Norman, and he with me? Isn't that it? Dad, I'm not sure that I know the answer to that question. Those 6 months in Prague, working with John, were the happiest I've ever known. That I am sure of.
Then why did I ask
to be transferred? I was afraid.
Afraid?
Of myself, of what began to look inevitable. I think John was in love with me, or would have been. And I only know that at the time, marriage, even marriage to John Norman, was less important than the ideal you gave me as early as I could understand. The ideal of service, Dad. A marshal's kind of service.
And?
John has been my might have been. I think we all need a might have been somewhere.
And now you want to make yours president.
Because of that? Now, you know that's not the reason.
Yes, I think I do.
He's the one man, Dad. Don't you think I've followed every move of his career? Look at his record in the diplomatic service, in Congress, as a governor. Look how he cleaned up corruption in his own state. Why, John has accomplished reforms that any politician in the country would have said were impossible. You see, he's got courage, Dad. Courage is what we need. I tell you, there is no choice. John Norman must be elected.
Go right in, Ambassador Marshall. The governor will see you.
Thank you. Good evening, Mr. President-to-be.
Anne. Oh, Anne, it's wonderful to see you.
Congratulations, John. Well, you weren't in here alone an hour after your nomination.
Afraid I was. Just trying to make myself realize it. How about you, Anne? Oh, you look wonderful. How long has it been since I've seen you?
4 years. The president's dinner in Paris. You remember,
John? Oh, that. You call that a meeting across 40 banquet tables? I mean to talk to you. Prague. That's the last time, Prague. 11 years ago.
It's 12.
Remember that year? I do.
Yes, John. I think I do remember.
You were very young, very beautiful, and very determined to revolutionize the diplomatic service. Prague was your first post, wasn't it?
Yes, John. My first post.
Oh, what's the matter with me? Won't you sit down?
Oh, thank you.
Smoke?
No, thanks.
Well, you've done fine work, you know that, don't you?
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, I'd get track of you. Let's see, from Prague to Lima as vice consul, Lima to Java as consul, Java to Lisbon as minister to Portugal, and for the last 3 years, ambassador to Belgium, right?
You sound like an excerpt from Who's Who. As a matter of fact, what about you now? Do you know that you added years to my life by going out of diplomacy into politics?
Hmm?
When you ran for Congress, I was in Java. It cost me 44 guilders worth of cables to make sure you'd won.
Oh, you almost wasted your money. What was my majority that time?
All of 250 votes. And then each time you ran for governor, I'd find myself wishing I were here that I could help. But apparently you didn't need help. Not then.
Not then? Say, you must have been reading the opposition press. Yeah, but you're right. It is going to be a battle. A tough one.
That's why I'm here, John. And I'm going to help you, if you'll just let me.
Well, but Anne, you...
An ambassador could hardly have a place in your campaign, I know. But you see, I won't be an ambassador, John. I'm going to resign.
Oh, but that's impossible. You can't do that.
Oh, but it's very simple. I'm supposed to be an important woman. A woman other people in this country will listen to, particularly other women. Well, now I have something to say to them. Elect John Norman.
Anne, this means more to me than you can ever know, but I won't let you do it. Don't you suppose I know what your diplomatic job means to you? Well, you've worked years for that ambassadorship.
I've made up my mind, John. This is a bigger thing than you or me. This is part of the scheme of things. I'm sure of that.
Are you, Anne?
Yes, John. The nation needs you as president. And I want to do everything in my power to see that you are. please. Please let me help.
Very well, then, and I can only pray that you're right, for both our sakes.
And with both national conventions ended, the presidential campaign is officially underway, with Governor John Norman and Edmund Hubbard of California opposing Elliot Kendall and Carol Ames for the two highest elective offices in the land. An interesting sidelight on the campaign is the unexpected resignation of Anne Marshall, for the past 3 years American ambassador to Belgium. Widely heralded for her skillful handling of the mid-European boundary dispute last October, Miss Marshall declared in a press interview today that she will campaign actively for the Norman Hubbard forces. And judging by the reports from Wall Street, candidate Norman can well use any and all support he can find. Setting a precedent.
Now, Anne, we're not going to argue about it. You've been doing the work of 6 people ever since the campaign started. If you keep going on like this, you'll crack up. You've got to let down.
That's all very interesting. Why don't we talk about it sometime? John, that challenge Kendall made in his speech yesterday on the farm question, have you thought of your answer?
Anne, no.
Because I think I have. I couldn't sleep last night till it came to me. Look, John, when Kendall was running for senator 3 years ago...
Anne, listen to me. Will you stop trying to carry this whole campaign on those shoulders of yours?
And 20 cities in as many days. Receptions, banquets, rallies. It's too much. I know how much this means to you.
In 3 weeks, the campaign is over, Dad. And then I'll rest for 20 years if you want me to. But this speaking tour is going to decide the election. And it is as a woman that I speak to you as women. The opposition has claimed that John Norman is no friend to labor. But where in his record as governor is there evidence for such a claim? If there is any man who has striven to heal whatever wounds may exist between labor and industry, it is John Norman.
And you here in the far West have certain problems of your own. I'm aware of those problems, and if elected, it would be the aim of my administration to solve...
National situation from actual experience in the diplomatic corps. He speaks and acts from knowledge, not from theory. You must realize that a vote for Norman and Hubbard. My privilege on this final broadcast of the campaign to introduce Governor Norman to you. Believe me, ladies and gentlemen, this is not a campaign speech. The time for that is over. What I have to say now, I say simply as an American speaking to Americans. Vote tomorrow for our candidates or against them as your judgment decides. But as you are citizens of a nation where the right to choose your own leader still is and shall remain your sacred privilege, go to the polls and vote. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Governor Norman.
I shall be brief. The issues of this campaign are clear. Senator Kendall has given you his platform. I've given you mine. It only remains for you to decide. The presidential oath of office is usually only given at time of inauguration. May I say at this moment that whether I am elected tomorrow or not, I do solemnly swear that in whatever capacity it is my privilege to serve, I shall preserve, protect, and defend this nation and its constitution.
Kentucky, 400 precincts reporting. Kendall and Ames, 4,332. Norman and Hubbard, 7,812.
Another state, Governor. That's practically all the electoral votes you need.
Now, we'll wait a while yet, Tom. You ever hear of a Hughes-Wilson campaign?
That won't happen this time. No matter how
well... Now, a tabulation of the total vote thus far received from throughout the nation. Kendall and Ames, 1,970,000. Norman and Hubbard, 2,640,000. So, it would appear at this hour that the election of John Norman is virtually a certainty.
That's it. You've done it, Company.
I hope you're right. But still, we'll wait till they concede before we start cheering. And
Where's Miss Marshall?
Oh, she went home, Governor, just after the Pennsylvania and New York returns came in.
She went...
Oh, Governor! Governor, you can't leave now. Trey is supposed to broadcast.
Going away?
Yes, John. I left early, as soon as I was sure you'd won. My boat sails at 11 in the morning, and I had packing to do.
And where are you supposed to be going?
I'm not quite sure, John. Paris first, and then...
You're leaving in rather a hurry, aren't you, Anne?
Acting on impulse is an old martial custom. Oh, forgive me. I haven't congratulated you. In the excitement, you know how glad I am for you.
Yes, I believe I do. You're not going back to Europe, Anne.
But I am, John. I must.
You can't. You see, I need you.
You need me?
Did you really think I'd let you go like this?
John.
I haven't mentioned this before, Anne, because if the election had gone against me, it would have sounded hollow. But for 3 months now, I've been planning in my own mind the cabinet I'd select if I won.
The cabinet?
On some of the appointments, I'm still in doubt. There's one I'm sure of, the most important one. Anne, I'm going to appoint you Secretary of State.
Before we bring you Act Two of For Us the Living, here's a man who'd like to make a bow in the direction of the lovely star of tonight's performance, Rosalind Russell. All right, John Conti.
You know, ladies and gentlemen, we feel here that Rosalind Russell and the Silver Theater are old friends. For it was she who started us off so successfully 2 years ago. And I remember that Miss Russell told us then that 1847 Rogers Brothers Silver Plate had been in her family for generations. And I think that you'll find that in the case in many homes throughout the country. For ever since that day, 92 years ago, when the house of 1847 Rogers Brothers first came into existence, the silver plate bearing that proud year mark has represented the highest ideals of beauty in design and craftsmanship. Among 1847 Rogers Brothers' loveliest creations is the pierced pattern love lace, gracefully proportioned with sterling-like detail and wreathed orange blossom motif. Love lace is a pattern of exquisite charm, a design to be cherished a lifetime. And surprisingly enough, you can now get 62 pieces of 1847 Rogers Brothers silver plate in the love lace pattern at a saving of more than $14 over open stock price. But let your silverware dealer show you sets of love lace tomorrow, Monday, and tell you about the easy, convenient payment terms. For there is no longer need to deny yourself the finest silver plate this country has ever seen. Silver plate by 1847 Rogers Brothers.
The house lights dim, the silver curtain rises on Act Two of Part One of For Us the Living, starring Rosalind Russell as Anne Marshall, with Lindsay McCary as John Norman. It's the third day of the following January. John Norman, inaugurated as president, has promptly made public his selection of cabinet officers, with Anne Marshall as Secretary of State heading the list. And that news is a spark that fires the entire nation to a white heat of discussion. Impassioned, unbending are the conflicting opinions. Opinions that find expression in every walk of life.
A woman for Secretary of State? Well, I won't stand for it. I voted for John Norman, but I didn't know he intended to wreck the country.
I don't know. Why not? Give a woman a chance, I say. Some of the guys they've had in there haven't done such a hot job.
Well, I don't care how many books she's written. I'm a woman myself, but when it comes to naming a woman to the most important post in the cabinet, well...
I met Miss Marshall when she was vice consul to Peru, and I assure you that a keener analyst of international affairs I've never known.
And I have the organization go on record as opposing the appointment of Anne Marshall.
Not just Washington or Baltimore or Philadelphia, John. The whole country is aroused. You can't send that recommendation to the Senate tomorrow.
And why can't I?
Because I won't let you. You must not risk your whole administration at the start because of me.
Because of you? And 2 months ago, the people of this country voted me into office with one of the largest majorities a candidate ever had. That vote means that the people who elected me have confidence in my judgment, and it is my judgment that you should be head of the Department of State.
What is it, John?
Would I appoint you if it were not?
They'll say I should be older. They're already saying it.
What has age to do with it? Henry Clay was senator at 29. Hamilton was a cabinet officer at 32.
But they were men, John. Why fool ourselves? I'm a woman.
Was Elizabeth a man? Was Victoria?
No, but I...
Oh, there's a difference, you'll say, but there's not. Not as regards one thing, that indefinable something called leadership. Leadership is where you find it, and ultimately it has nothing to do with sex.
But if that's true, can we make the people believe it?
The people? Listen to me, Anne. For the last 2 days, the people of this country have shown more interest in their government than at any time in 20 years. Washington, this government was in people's minds and people's hearts, and that's what I want. There's a word called patriotism, Anne. But it's all too seldom heard, except in time of war. Well, I want a new patriotism, do you understand? A patriotism of peace. A patriotism that grows of the people's knowledge and understanding and interest in the government that is their own. And you, as Secretary of State, will achieve that. Friends and enemies alike will be alert to watch your every move. People will know we have a foreign policy who never heard of it before. And that's what I want, Anne. A nation of active, thinking people aware of their own government.
Patriotism of peace. It's a big idea, John Norman.
You'll accept them?
You know, Johanna, we've never put this into words, either of us. But I think we've understood. We own a dream, you and I. A dream that's more important to you than any woman. And more important to me than any man. It was because I realized you shared that dream that I left Prague 12 years ago. And now, if you'll swear to me, John, that you honestly believe that by accepting this appointment, I'll be helping to fulfill that dream, I'll do it.
It will, Anne. I swear to you it will.
All right. If the Senate will back you up, I'll accept, John. And I'll try to do you proud.
Anne!
You shouldn't have waited up.
Oh, but I've been waiting to hear the... Anne. Anne, girl, you didn't lose.
No, Dad. I won. John did what no other president has ever done. He appeared before the Senate himself and asked that they confirm my appointment. And they did confirm it by a single vote. Vice President Hubbard himself had to vote to break the tie.
But you expected a battle, my dear.
Oh, Dad. Without John's speech, I'd have never had a chance. Will I be able to prove he was right? Will I be able to prove he was right?
And with the new administration well into its fourth month, impartial observers, both in this country and abroad, have commented on the efficiency of the State Department under the regime of Anne Marshall. Today, as a matter of fact, focus of national attention shifted from Washington to Wilmington, Delaware, where both President Norman and Vice President Hubbard were to address a banquet given by the Pan-American League. Following the banquet, both the chief executive and the vice president were scheduled to return by automobile to the national capital. And now for the weather report. Continued storms along the eastern coast.
Have you forgotten there's such a thing as sleep, Anne Marshall?
Dad! Oh, just about. This is a note that has to go off by cable in the morning. Couldn't sleep till it's finished. But, darling, you mustn't let my crazy hours disturb you.
No, nothing of the kind. The middle of the night's my only chance to see you.
Dear Dad.
How's it going, huh?
All right. Oh, a few mistakes, maybe, but I haven't started any wars yet.
What does John say?
Nothing much. I hardly ever see him except in cabinet meetings. But I think he's... Oh, I'll get it, Dad. Hello? Yes? Yes, this is Secretary Marshall speaking. What is it, please? Oh, my God. Will you repeat that, please?
And what is it?
John, a motor accident on the road near Baltimore. Vice President Hubbard was killed instantly. John is in a hospital, not expected to live.
Yes, Miss Marshall. He's been asking for you. Dr. Lewis is with him.
This way, please, ma'am. Secretary Marshall is here, Doctor.
Oh, yes, Miss Marshall. The President has been...
Ma'am. Is that you?
John. John, are you all right? Doctor.
Glad you got here, Anne. Not any too soon. A long road in. A long road here from Prague 12 years ago.
Yes, John. But it's a road that goes farther. Much, much farther.
For you. But not for both of us. Funny, I half expected this. They tell me Hubbard...
Yes. Instantly.
Poor Hubbard. At least I could have gone first and given him an hour or so. Not afraid, Anne.
Afraid?
A big job, you know. Maybe the biggest job there is. And it won't be easy. There are storms ahead that will take some fighting through. But you'll win. Because you're you, you win. I know.
John, you mustn't.
Just one last thing, Anne. That dream. The dream we talked about. It's still not fulfilled. I haven't done it. Perhaps I never would have. But you...
John!
Madam President, I took the liberty of sending for the Chief Justice. He's just arrived.
The Chief Justice?
You have to... But surely you knew. With both the President and Vice President... Well, the Secretary of State... The oath of office, Madam President.
Yes. I suppose I did know. Would you ask the Chief Justice to wait, please?
Of course, Madam.
Doctor, nurse, please, for just a moment, please.
Yes, of course. Come, nurse.
I'll try, John. As there is a God in heaven, and as he gives me strength, I swear to you,
Conrad Nagel again, ladies and gentlemen, ringing down the curtain on the first episode of our two-part drama, For Us the Living. And you know, as I stood here in the wings looking out at all the smartly dressed people in our studio audience, I was reminded of that old adage, clothes make the man. Then I got to thinking that in much the same way silverware makes the hostess. You'll be a more poised and gracious hostess if you know that the silver on your dinner table is a compliment to your taste and love for worthwhile possessions. Women who realize this own sterling silver. Because sterling is solid silver, through and through. Silver to be enjoyed not just for a month or a year, but every day as long as you live.
Go to your silverware dealers and just see the breathtaking beauty of International Sterling's new prelude pattern. Never were flowers more exquisitely carved than in the cluster of roses at the crown and base of the prelude handle. Never were pattern lines more graceful and rhythmic, nor solid silver more lustrous and lovely. Here is silver that will indeed form the prelude to many years of gracious entertaining.
Surprising as it seems, ladies and gentlemen, nearly all of you can afford this new Prelude Sterling. For you can buy a complete service for 8, 12, or 24 people right out of income. Or you can get an individual place setting and start a service with 6 lustrous pieces as low as $16.75. Your silverware dealer will welcome the opportunity to show you the different sets. So be sure to visit him tomorrow, Monday, and see the loveliest and newest of International Sterling Patterns, Prelude. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to extend to you, in the moment we have left, an invitation to listen to Rosalind Russell in next week's episode of For Us, the Living. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.